John chapter 9, let's look at verse number 1 through 11. John chapter 9, I'll begin reading down there through verses 1 through 11. The Bible says, Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And he that had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He's like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. Lord, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for how He saved us, cleansed us. There might be some here this morning that's not saved. Oh, dear God in heaven, I pray the sweet Holy Ghost of God would show them their need for Christ, and today they'd be saved. But thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost and how He drew us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray now that you'd help me now as I preach for just a little while on this man, a man called Jesus. We need your help. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. May I say to you, dear friend, that today is the Lord's day. It is His day. Hallelujah. It is the best day of the week. It's the greatest day, the first day of the week. And I'm glad that we get to start it off in the house of the Lord. Now, the question would ask, why do we live the Christian life? The answer would be, because of Jesus. Why do we go to church? Because of Jesus. Why do we witness to others? Because of Jesus. Why do we care and live and love others, or live for others, love others? And the answer is because of Jesus. Why are we blessed to the fullest? Because of Jesus. Why do we have eternal life? Every one of us here today ought to be able to say, friend, because of Jesus. And the Bible says down here, it teaches us that there's a man that was blind from his birth. God said He did it for His honor and His glory. And all of a sudden this day comes where this man meets this one called Jesus. And the Lord, you know how He makes the clay, puts it on the guy's eyes. He goes and He washes. He comes back and he's seeing. People are amazed, saying, Oh, that's not him. He's just like him. He said, No, I am he. I am the one. They said, Well, how in the world can you receive your sight? I mean, you've been blind ever since your birth. And now all of a sudden you can see. And he told them this. He said, A man that is called Jesus. Now, I want to say to you about this man called Jesus. You either love him or hate him. He said, I don't know about that, preacher. But the Bible says in Luke 16:13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. And I'll say to you, dear friend, that there is no other like this man called Jesus. There's no one like him. Now, I know that many of you are used to hearing about him. I know that we're used to hearing his name around here. We talk about him. We thank the Lord for him. We worship him. But yet many are trying to serve him and serve the world at the same time. You can't do it. Now, don't get nervous, amen. But I say to you, dear friend, why would anybody that is saved desire for them and their family to serve the world when there is no comparison to this one that we call Jesus? Amen? The Bible said you can't serve. He said you can't serve God and mammon. In other words, you're not going to live in the world and serve the world and live in sin and wickedness and love the Lord Jesus Christ and serve Him at the same time. Amen. I say to you, dear friend, there's a poem that says this. He came from the glory of the Father on high to be rejected, to bleed, and to die. He walked on the sea of troubled hearts to steal. The winds and the waves bowed down to His will. He went to a funeral in the city of Nain, and a weeping mother was made glad again. He went through Samaria and sat on a well to help a poor woman and save her from hell. At the tomb of Lazarus, He wept like a man, and then He raised him with His mighty hand. He went to a wedding to show them a sign. He spoke a word, turned water water to wine. He died on the cross and in suffering and pain, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain. In Joseph's new tomb, his body was laid, and forever the sin debt was marked fully paid. From the Mount of Olives, he ascended on high as he rode a cloud up through the sky. He said he'd return to catch us away, then we'll be with him forever to stay. This morning, I'm preaching to you on the subject, a man called Jesus. I want to give you some things about this man called Jesus that is nothing new to any of us. As a matter of fact, many of you have heard it preached many times, but it's good for us to be reminded. A man called Jesus, number one, came to this earth through a virgin. Now, there are those out there that don't believe it. There are those out there that would slam it, that would slander him, talk bad about him, make filthy, vile movies about it. But I believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And there is no one since then that's ever been born that way. And nobody ever will be born that way again. The Bible said in Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin," He said, "shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel." The Bible said in Luke 1:35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Men, can I say to you, dear friend, that He's the Son of God? For if He was the Son of a man, then He would have man's blood, which is sinful blood. But instead, He has royal, sinless blood, because He came from the Father on high through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I say to you, dear friend, God Himself came to this earth through the power of the Holy Ghost and was made flesh and dwelt among us. And there are those, again, that would speak evil of this one called Mary. There are those that would lift her up to the status of being next to God. But the truth of the matter, dear friend, is this. She was a lowly, poor virgin girl that was highly favored by the God of heaven. And she was used to be a vessel to birth the Son of God. Don't try to scientifically explain it. Just believe it. Amen. That's what the Bible said. This man called Jesus was born of a virgin, that He might take on flesh, therefore placed in the womb through the power of the Holy Ghost, that He might be deity, which is God wrapped in flesh. The Bible said in John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And friend, in the beginning, the Bible also said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God." A man called Jesus came to this earth through a virgin. Let me say, number two, a man called Jesus lived on this earth a sinless sacrifice. Ephesians 5:2, "And walk in love," He said, "as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." 1 Corinthians 5:7, "Purge out therefore the old leaven," He said, "that ye may be made a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." He said in Hebrews 10:12, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." May I say to you, dear friend, church, this morning, the sacrifice for the sins of the entire world, and I said that on purpose, the entire world, that's everybody, was none other than this man called Jesus. Who can forgive sin and your sin and my sin? No one but this man called Jesus. Who lived on this earth sinless, never to commit a sin that he might be a holy sacrifice? No one but this man called Jesus. May I say to you, dear friend, who had the ability, the strength, and the power to be that sacrifice? No one but this man called Jesus. 1 Peter 2:22 said, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Christ gave Himself to die for us, and the death of Christ was the great sacrifice of atonement, which is an offering, dear friend, and a sacrifice to God for you and I. And when the children of Israel brought that sacrificial lamb to the altar, it had to be a spotless lamb with no blemish, which was a picture and type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I say to you, dear friends, just like a dirty, spotted lamb could not be used as a sacrifice, neither could a dirty, spotted human being or anything else be used as a sacrifice for your sins and my sin. There's only one that could be that lamb. There's only one that could be that sacrifice. And He is that man called Jesus. Let me say to you, friend, he came to the earth through a virgin. He lived on this earth as a sinless sacrifice. Number three, a man called Jesus died on this earth for my sins. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15:3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins," according to the Scriptures. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin." The Bible said that he might be made, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now this man called Jesus, dear friend, he knew no sin, the Bible says. So then the question would be, why did he die? Why did he die if he had no sin? They even claimed there in the Word of God. Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." They couldn't find any sin in the man. But can I say to you, dear friend, the reason they couldn't find any sin is because he was sinless. He was perfect. Yet he died anyway. And he died for you and I that we might be made. Are you listening? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The only way that me and you could have the righteousness of God is through Jesus. God said, "Ain't no way you're going to get saved. Ain't no way you're going to have His righteousness. And ain't no way you're going to get to heaven unless you come through His righteousness." And so He said, the only way that's going to happen is if my Son dies for you, sheds His blood on Calvary, and you get His righteousness by trusting and believing in Him. Friend, may I say to you, there's not a person on this earth that ever go to heaven unless their sins have been washed in the blood of Jesus. They have been made the righteousness of God through this man called Jesus. The Bible said in Romans 3:23, "For all have what? Sinned." He said in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." And I say to you, friend, the Bible said in 1 Peter 2:24, "Who his own self there are sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." So in other words, God said this. He said, "For all have sinned." He said, "The wages of your sin is death." But he said this. He said, "Hey," he said, "his own self, Jesus Christ, he bore your sin on his body, friend." That, and then now he's saying, "You should live under righteousness." He did that for you and I. We may not think it's a big deal, but you're not going to hell because of it. That ought to make us run around and shout, amen. Luke 23:33 said, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." Friend, may I say to you that Calvary is the place where God chose to take our place and die for our sins. And only, I said only, this man called Jesus could take our place. No other could pay that price. Only this one called Jesus. The Bible said, "All we like sheep gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Dear friend, he took my sin, he took your sin, he took the whole entire world's sins. And he died for everybody's sin, this man called Jesus. What would we have to look forward to had he not died for our sins? What kind of life would we have? What kind of future? Are you listening? What kind of future would you and I have had it not been for this one called Jesus that died for your sins? What would be the reason for us to live had he not died for our sins? I mean, it would be devastating if we had not Jesus. If we did not have him, we would not be sitting here today with families and friends and loved ones. And I say to you, dear friend, thank God for this one called Jesus. A man called Jesus died on this earth for my sin. Let me say to you, a man called Jesus went to the center of the earth and took our payment in hell. A lot of people don't like to think about that, but let me give you some Bible. The Bible said in Matthew 12:40, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall also the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." The Bible said in Psalm 16:10, it said, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Ephesians 4:9, the Bible said, "Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth?" I say to you, dear friend, this morning, there's nobody, church, that ever went to hell and got out except this man called Jesus. Everybody else, still there. This man called Jesus took our payment in hell for us so that we do not have to go. Amen, church. While he was in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights, you know what he did? He took charge and he preached and he led captivity captive when he left out of there. The Bible said in Colossians 2:15, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them." The Bible said in 1 Peter 3:19, "By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison." He said in Ephesians 4:8, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." May I say to you, dear friend, here's what happened. He lived on this earth openly with no sin. He died on this earth openly before all. He took our payment in hell openly, triumphing over the evil powers of darkness while in charge the whole time. All the demons, all the spirits, all Satan, nobody there had any power over him. And I say to you, dear friend, and he took our hell so we don't have to go to hell. Amen. I don't understand why in the world there's a God in heaven that would create us knowing what we would do when it comes to sin and knowing what he would have to do because of our sin. Yet only one man would do that. His name is Jesus. Bible said in Colossians 2:15, "Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly," friend, and I thank the Lord for that. I'm glad that my God in heaven showed him who he was. He said, "Hey, there's been a whole lot of y'all come down, a whole lot of people's come down here in this place, and they ain't never left. But I'm coming, hey, I ain't going to be here long. In 3 days, I'm out of here." Hallelujah. And while he was there, he let them know who he was. And may I say to you, friend, there's coming a day, hallelujah, where everybody's going to know who he is. The man called Jesus came to this earth through a virgin. He lived on the earth as a sinless sacrifice. He died on the earth for my sins. He took our payment in hell. This man called Jesus, let me say to you quickly, he resurrected on this earth. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up." Look in your Bible if you will. Turn over to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, let me read that to you. If I can, Luke 24 verses 1 through 7. Man called Jesus, resurrected. Bible said, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, there came unto the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. It came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, as they were afraid. Bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, 'Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen.'" He's done exactly what he said he would do. The Lord is always faithful. His word is always true. His power never changes. He's still on his throne. He still loves his children, and his blood still atones. Early in the morning at the breaking of day, Mary and the others found the stone rolled away. God's holy angels gave this message true that he's done exactly what he said he would do. He said he'd be with us in each trying hour. And if we only trust him, he'll send his holy power. He knows every burden, each rocky mile. And he knows how to strengthen and comfort his child. Like a thief in the night, he'll steal his bride away. Oh, be ready then to meet him, for he may come today. He'll take us to heaven, that fair city we'll view, and he'll do exactly what he said he'll do. And I say to you, dear friend, there are still those today that say there's no resurrection. But I say to you, dear friend, there might not be much resurrection for some, but except for this man, there's no resurrection, but except for this man called Jesus and all those that believe in him. The Bible said over there in 1 Corinthians 15, it teaches us in verses 12 through 20, that if Christ be not risen, your preaching's vain. He said, if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain. You are false witnesses. So I say to you, friend, he went on to say that if your faith is vain, he said, ye are yet in your sin. And dead is perished, means there's no hope for them. So if Christ be not risen, we are of all most miserable. Pilate ignored it. The soldiers tried to kill it. The Pharisees made up lies about it. But the man called Jesus, he proved it. He is risen. He's very much alive. On his throne, watching what's going on. The Bible said over there in 1 Corinthians 15, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." He is alive. This man called Jesus that nobody wants to talk about. Man called Jesus, they throw him out of the school, throw him out of the government, throw him out of the workplace, throw him out of the families. People don't want to recognize the name Jesus. Oh, they don't mind saying God, but they don't want to recognize the man Jesus. But I say to you, dear friend, this man called Jesus. Oh yeah, he came to the earth through a virgin, lived on the earth as a sinless sacrifice, died on the earth for my sin. He took our payment at the center of earth in hell. This man called Jesus resurrected on this earth. Let me give you this one. This man called Jesus that nobody wants to talk about. He's coming back. He's coming back to this earth. He's not coming back as a baby either. Are y'all with me? He's not coming back as a lowly shepherd. He's not coming back as a preacher or a teacher. He's not coming back as sweet little Jesus boy either. But He's coming back, dear friend, as a king that's going to rule and reign on this earth with a rod of iron. The Bible said over there in Revelation 19:11, "I saw heaven open and behold a white horse. He that sat on him," anybody want to guess who that is? "He that sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." May I say to you, dear friend, y'all hear me? There's coming a day, hallelujah to God, when the Lord's going to call His children home. That's us. And we're going to get out of here talking about the rapture. And when all the saved are gone, and then He's going to call us out in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And I say to you, dear friend, it could happen any moment. I wish it happened this morning. Hallelujah. And then after that, there's going to be some kind of destruction. You're talking about tribulation and chaos on this earth that they have never seen. They call that the tribulation, also known as Jacob's trouble. And this trouble is going to last for 7 years. And then Israel will be compassed with armies. And when this happens, the Lord's going to come back personally, amen, with the called, with the faithful, with the chosen, and He shall reign on the earth. He's coming back. We may live like He ain't, but He is. Bible said in Revelation 11:15, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, 'The kingdom of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord, and of His Christ He shall reign forever and ever.'" Daniel 7:14, the Bible said there was given Him dominion. Talking about that man called Jesus. There was given unto Him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, are you listening? Nations and languages should serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. In His kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now hear me now. There are those that do not believe in the millennial reign of Christ. That is where the Lord will reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Personally, individually, in the physical body, He will reign on this earth for 1,000 years. In Jerusalem, they think that the earth's going to get better and better until Christ comes. But isn't it not obvious, church, that the world is not getting better and better? Instead, it is getting worse and worse. And may I say to you, it will continue to get worse until He comes back to this earth. Literally. The Bible said in Acts chapter number 1, verse 11, "Which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go up into heaven.'" And the Bible said over there, friend, it says, "And they shall see," in Mark chapter 13, verse 26, "And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory." He's coming, friend. Grace, you know the piano, baby. He's coming. I'm done, but listen to me. He's coming with power and great glory. Now, don't miss this. This man called Jesus, He was born of a virgin, lived a sinless sacrifice on this earth, died for our sins, took our payment of hell. He resurrected Himself from the dead. One day He's coming back to rule and reign on this earth. And here's a question I got for you. Are you saved? Do you know Him? I'm glad I'm knowing. I'm glad I'm part of that crowd that knows who He is. Now look here, y'all listen to me real good. I'm an evangelist that's pointed right down the center. I believe in confrontational preaching every now and then. Look here, if you ain't saved, you will go to hell. I don't say that harshly or try to be rude or mean, but I beg you, trust in this one called Jesus. It's the greatest life you'll ever live. Best thing that ever happened to this old boy was at the age of 19 when God saved my soul. That's the best thing that ever happened to me. And He changed my life, got me out of all that mess, totally turned my life around. And I say, God's been good to me because of this man called Jesus. You can play, baby. I'm done. But are you saved? Just like this blind man, he is blind from his birth until he met Jesus. Which is a picture and type of those that are blind. They don't see the need. They can't see righteousness. They're blind until they meet Jesus. And then when they get saved, God takes some scales off. He opens that thing up and He says, this is how you're supposed to live. Ain't it amazing? Whenever you got saved, all the things you didn't think were wrong, when you got saved, you realized and understood they were wrong. Ain't it amazing how you didn't care anything about church? Then when you got saved, all of a sudden you want to care about church. I mean, before you were saved, you wanted to live a life of sin and ungodliness and wickedness and get involved in all kinds of filth. And then when you got saved, that filth wasn't fun anymore. It was ungodly. It was grieving to you. You didn't like it anymore. You know why? God opened your eyes. God said, hey, I'm living inside of you now. You ought to live for the one that's called Jesus. And I say to you, dear friend, the best thing that you could ever do is trust in this one called Jesus. I'm glad I'm saved, church. I may not be a perfect man. I know I'm not. I mess up all the time. You don't think so? Hang around me a little while. I'll say something wrong. I'm good at that. I'll do something wrong. But I say to you, dear friend, no, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm in a good church. Hallelujah. God's been good to me. He's blessed me. Are you saved? Saved boys, young ladies, mom and daddy, husband, wife, grandma, grandpa, this man called Jesus, he fixed it all. Let's all bow our head, close our eyes for a few moments. I'm done, but I want to ask a question. I'll ask this question, no one looking around. Have you ever met this one called Jesus? Oh, I know you know about Him. I know you've heard about Him. Some have even used His name in a cuss word. That don't mean they know Him. Have you ever had an experience with Christ? What I mean by that, where the Holy Ghost of God convicted you, showed you you were lost, you realize you needed Jesus. Maybe you've not had that. I can tell you when I was 19 sitting in church, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart, convicted me is what it's called. Showed me, said, son, you're lost on your way to a devil's hell. I've been in church all my life, raised right here in this area. And I say to you, dear friend, I went forward that day, let a preacher take a Bible, show me how to get saved. I trusted Jesus that day, and I'm pretty sure there's probably some here this morning. Right now, the Holy Ghost of God's convicting you. Right now, God's dealing with you, showing you that you need this one called Jesus. I want to invite you to Him this morning. I want to ask a question. Anyone, no one looking around, just a quick question. Is there anyone here this morning that would say, preacher, God's speaking to my heart. If I died, I really don't know for sure I'm saved. Pray for me. I won't point you out. I wouldn't dare embarrass you. But you slip your hand up, say, preacher, pray for me. I'm concerned about my soul. I don't know that I'm saved. Anyone like that this morning? All across the auditorium. God bless you. I see that little hand. Anybody else? See the little hands. Anybody else? Preacher, if I die today, I don't know for sure I'm saved. What about it, grandma, grandpa, mama, daddy, son? What about a young lady, young man, teenager? I see that little hand, little man. God bless you. Anybody else? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Next question I got for you. How you living for this one called Jesus? Is He happy with your life? Would you surrender your whole life to Jesus? Let's all stand as I pray. God spoke to your heart. These altars are open. Father, we love you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. God, I pray that, Lord, you take the message and use it for your honor and glory. Lord, we come to the house of God today to worship you. God, to lift you up. Lord, you said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. God in heaven, we sure thank you. I'm not here for no glory. No praise from man. Lord, we ain't here to honor and glorify each other, but God, we are here to glorify you. Father, I shall pray that God, the Holy Ghost of God, will speak to the heart. Right now, the Holy Ghost of God.